You can be seated except your hands, you know, and those of us half up as we do a little. I just love to go through that. I'll help every time if I. Of course, he knows it. Corporate worship, and you're saying the same words everybody else is. You know, here's all of you at the same time. Sometimes some of you wondered if you remembered to water your dog. You say your mind singing the song, not you. That's why he loves singular, because you have to go along with it. You know, you're not. So this lift us half mask, and again, it's no special holiday, it's not an anniversary, it's not a birthday, but I just called to say that I love you. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'd like to just stand here and tell you how much I care. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When Alan was talking about breaking into the private worship, which is it's an incredible key to the advancement of an occupancy of God's love inside of you, you know, tremendous key. You can't soak yourself in an adoration and a kind of worship, especially if you're tough enough to do it hour after hour after hour. Some days you can't take a bath in that and not stay the same. You just can't. Hallelujah. So why don't we just for a minute. Father, I glorify and I love you. And hallelujah, Jesus. And okay, you can be. Thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, I was in the office just meditating and praying, and then I was back there sitting in the chair meditating and praying and listening. And I always wondered what happened to Eve, you know. I can just see that devil saying, don't eat that. Don't eat it. Don't do it. Crunched and eats the core and everything, you know. No, he made it real simple for us to understand that men fell. But if you really wanted to know kind of what happened, just take it up with the second Adam. Satan always said in prophecy when he was covered up, I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. And I'll be like the Most High. When he tried to tempt Jesus, look what he offered him. You know, you can rule the world. I'm offering you that. You can rule the world. Through all that temptation, he could at him. He turned him down. The first one didn't. I think it was an apple. Well, then eat it yourself. Hallelujah, Jesus. Anyway, since I grow great, I get into great fear when it approaches 12. I've seen cannibals before. But I want Jim and Bronk to to testify for 4 minutes and 32 seconds each. Bring your wives up with you just in case they're smarter than you are in some of those two-minute areas. So Bronco, would you come up first and greet the people and testify for a minute? Bring your candy with you. You know where the mic is. These guys are something. They have fought a good fight from day one. Didn't you?
Yes. Okay. A lot of times we'll be going through a battle. Excuse me. The mic is hot. It's good. Authority. Do you feel that authority come into the room? Hallelujah. We'll be going through a battle in Immokalee like you do, like wherever you're from. And I'll look over at Candy and I'll say, or she'll look at me and say, Dave Roberson caused all this. But we're talking about the walk and it's so precious to us. I'm excited about being here. I love all of you guys. I know that this is a significant conference. In fact, this may be the one that we enter into revival in. Hallelujah. Can I tell you one of the reasons why I know? And Tim told me, he said, Bronk, if you get a chance, but I'm not putting this on Tim. But he said, your pastor is actually doing something now. Now, if you know our pastor, you know this. For a while, he's been, I don't want to say technologically challenged, just technologically maybe reserved is the best way to put it. His iPad is a yellow pad. His delete button is an eraser. But in the last few days, in fact, just prior to the conference and in this week, I've actually been sending and receiving texts from Pastor Dave Roberson. Hallelujah. Revival is intimate. It's here. I'm excited, truly excited. I think the thing I'm excited the most about is this. We're standing at a place where we're soon not only going to go pray for people at the hospitals, we're going to bring them home with us. Hallelujah. And we're making those steps. When we left Florida, 4 or 5 weeks, I don't know, it's been 3 or 4 months ago, we've always had a large group of young people that really love the Lord, that we're following God. Sometimes our Sunday night service, I don't do it. I have a man that's been with us, an elder that's been with us the whole time for the last 15 years on this walk with us. And he does our Sunday night services for our teenagers. And sometimes our teenagers fill the church. There's more of them than there is of us on Sunday morning. Praise God for that. But the thing that I began to see a few months ago is one of the young men that was college age and has come through and has come up and has went through the born again trail and just really solid in his early 20s. He called me and he said, Pastor, can we begin to meet at the church? We want to meet at the church on Tuesday nights. Wednesday we have church, Thursday nights, Monday nights we want to meet. Can we just meet there, us young people, and can we go in there or can we just begin to pray? Can we just begin to seek God? Candy and I will come home on Monday nights, Tuesday nights if we're going someplace, Thursday nights when nobody's usually at the church, and there will be a parking lot of cars, of young people there praying for revival. Revival is coming, and revival is here, and I'm excited about being here, and I'm excited about being here with you guys. Glory be to God and amen. Hallelujah. Candy, anything? You want to say anything?
I guess I could say something. When Tim was talking this morning, he was talking about how do we bring God pleasure. I was reminded of an experience I had with my granddaughter last Friday. I don't ever go pick her up from school. She's 5 years old. She's just started kindergarten. And I've never gone to pick her up before, but my name is on the list to pick her up. And my daughter was busy that day, and she asked me, could I go pick her up? And it was planned. And when I drove up into the line of cars to get in the parent pickup line, I watched down the sidewalk. I was about maybe five, six cars back. Called her name. They see her name on my windshield. We have to put it there. And then the lady takes the intercom and calls her. And she came running out, or walking down the sidewalk, way down there, and her little ponytail was just flipping. And when she looked way down the cars, and when she saw me, when she saw my car, she had expected Nana to pick her up. But when she seen the car, she started clapping her hands. And the excitement, it melted my heart, because the love that I have for her, and then the love that she has for me, at that moment, I thought about the love of my Father and how that when we come into His presence and He knows we're coming in, that He must be standing there, and Jesus, clapping their hands, that we're coming to spend time with Him. And that's my explanation of intimacy with God. And one other thing that I love to use the kids for examples, just like Gary does. My other granddaughter, one day, she's 9 years old now, but when she was about four, we were standing on a Sunday morning getting ready for church. And I was standing in front of my jewelry box putting jewelry on. And I said, come on, April, let's get pretty for Jesus. We're going to go to church. And she said, why? Jesus doesn't like ugly people? I said, no, baby, He loves everybody, and there's nobody ugly in His eyes. And one other thing that she said one time, we were taking her home when she was about 4 years old, and this is a word for all of us. We were trying to get her to her house. We knew where she lived, but she was sitting on the hump in the back seat, sitting there watching us go. And Papa would say, do we turn here? No, Papa, keep going. Keep going. And I think it's a word for us all, just keep going.
These are long times, been with us a long, long time.
Well, I'm Jim Martin, and this is my wife, Kathy. And how many of you were here last year when I introduced her? A lot of people haven't forgotten that, neither is she. So what I'm going to do is just tell you, this is my wife, Kathy.
I just want to say, really, what a privilege, a true privilege, and an honor it is to be associated with this ministry and these people. When Tim was up here this morning, you know how Tim, he walks up here, and he looks around, and he waits, and you know how the quiet comes, and he says it's so quiet. The first time I ever saw Tim here at the prayer center, I thought of that old commercial where it said, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, when Tim Stemple speaks, Kathy Martin listens. And I know that you listen too, because I have never in my life known a man that could just in one sentence bring the wisdom of God like Tim Stemple does. Those nuggets of just God's wisdom for us. Such a simple statement, like no time spent waiting on God is time wasted. It's beautiful. Delayed obedience is disobedience. That's one from the past that Tim said. I just wanted to say that about Tim, because we appreciate Tim and Leah so much. They have really blessed us. And Pastor Dave, what can we say about Pastor Dave? We've always felt his love and his acceptance and his encouragement. you know, for our ministry. And just everybody here, everyone here, how the staff, everyone greets you and meets you and loves you so much. And we're thankful. We're thankful. And one thing I know above all things about our association with this ministry, it was a God connection. It was a divine connection. And we're going to keep on going, just like Candy said. We're going to keep on going. Praise the Lord.
Well, hallelujah. As I was standing there during the time of worship, and Pastor Dave began to walk up, and he stopped and leaned in my direction, I didn't know what he was going to say, but I was right in the middle of writing something that the Lord had given me at that moment. And then Pastor Dave said, you know, just about 5 minutes. And the Lord had given me a couple of things during this service. And I also want to share something with you that he gave me a few weeks ago that I really think may help you in your walk with the Lord. It was just really one sentence, that was all. He said, Satan takes by force, but I, God, wait for willing submission. And that has to do with everything in our lives. There is nothing about our life that we'll be able to share with God, or that he can share with us, or that he can touch until we by choice submit it unto him. And that submission is by choice. There's no such thing as an anointing for submission. There is a choice for submission. And that spoke so much to me, because so many times we wait for God to move when he's waiting for us to willingly submit. And there's a verse in the Bible that has come to mean more to me, I can't say than any other verse, but I'm seeing it differently than I have my entire life. And it's 1 John chapter 4. And in verse 16, I'll just read three words out of that verse. God is love. And here not too long ago, I was speaking with Pastor Dave about this, and I just won't go into everything that the Lord shared with me about this love. And we were having this conversation. It's about a month ago. And I was sharing with him these things the Lord had been showing me about the love of God, explaining to me about the love of God. And just to stay within this time frame and not go really deeply into this, but one of the things that when Pastor Dave just a moment ago was sharing about the rebellion of Lucifer, what's interesting is that it was at that moment the Lord was speaking to me about Lucifer's rebellion. And I'll just read to you what he said. It just one sentence. And he started off with those three words from 1 John 4. God is love. And the Holy Spirit said Lucifer's rebellion was rejection of God's love. Because if God is love, that means Lucifer before the fall and all those angels before the fall were literally in the presence of absolute pure love. And really, they were in the presence of it in a way that you and I have not yet experienced. We're here on earth. We're not literally physically, you know what I mean, in his presence. And so they were there in the presence of a love that is not contaminated by a fallen world, of a love that is hindered by the hate of people in a world, by a love that is impacted by the hatred of a Satan. They were in the presence of absolute pure love, and that rebellion was literally the rejection of God's love. Well, now here we are, the benefactors of God's love made manifest in the flesh. And we have the opportunity to experience the love that Satan rejected and live every day in that love. And the other thing that he shared with me, and I really found this one to be very, really very profound. My first conference here was March of 1997. And I've been to all but three conferences. I missed the June conferences and I missed one October conference. But I've been to all the other conferences. And I've seen the way the conferences have changed over the years, the progression and so forth. And when we showed up for the first service yesterday morning, and Brother Gary was speaking and ministering, he said a few sentences that were exactly the things that God has been showing me and speaking to me about the love of God. And then Pastor Dave came out and he began ministering about the love of God. And he was saying things that God had been dealing with me about the week before this conference started. And I'm sitting there thinking, my goodness, this is almost word for word things that God was speaking to me. And it was all about the love of God. Well, here's what the Lord said. The conferences have matured to the place where a deeper level of my love can be taught. And when he said that, I began to think about the way the conferences have been over the years. And it wasn't that every single individual has matured, but the conferences have matured to the place to where a deeper level of God's love can be taught. And I'm going to close off here with this. This love is something that our minds cannot understand. It is a spiritual experience with absolute life. It's nothing that we can know with our minds, and this is one of the reasons why we have begun over the last really few years, there's been a shift in the ministry, in these conferences, more in the direction of love. With our minds, we think, well, gee whiz, everybody loves. But God is saying, no, you don't understand. You grasping human love, but I am love. I don't love because I choose to. I love because it is my existence. And we are here this week to experience a deeper level of God's existence. Like we've already heard today, be a receiver this week. Praise God.
Hallelujah. I won't take long. You'll be able to eat by 1:45 and then be back by 2. Can you? I won't take the time of what actually started transpiring in me that made me know that something different was coming as the devil's overrated attack on me to get into sensationalism. If I'd got into sensationalism, then I'd be off down the road somewhere doing nothing. But sensationalism is that move that came that you don't hear very much about anymore. When all the gold dusting was appearing on people and they were really getting excited. A lot of it was happening in Florida. You'd go there and somebody'd be coated with gold and boy, there was just jewels falling from the sky, stuff like that, you know. And so I wanted to do some fasting, so I didn't have anywhere to go, and anyway, I wore Gary out totally every year, you know. Christmas, Thanksgiving, preaching on fasting. But I wanted to go into a fast, and so I did, and somewhere along in that fast, and it was in the time of all that sensationalism, which was about 6 years ago. So I was in a few days, and all of a sudden, and I told the camp meetings about this, because it has been 6 years. All of a sudden, they just started singing. I just out loud, all of a sudden, You couldn't hear them, but I could. I could hear them just as loud as anything, every word. They'd even answer things I'd ask. But they started singing gospel songs, you know. And I even requested one, "Let's All Gather at the River." Do you know that one? Your grandma knows that one. "Let's all gather at the river, the beautiful, beautiful river," you know. So they sang songs I knew and everything. And so finally, I'm going, "Where's this coming from?" I was fasting at my house. So I went into a broom closet and closed the door, and I could hear them singing in there. So I went up in the attic in the top. I could hear them singing up there. No matter where I went, they just kept singing songs to me. I even requested some. I said, you know, they were singing that one, "Can't you hear the thunders roll? Can't you hear? La, la, la," on and on and on. So I walked away from the house, and I walked about 20 feet away from the house, and I could still hear them singing. They were singing out loud, and so I really didn't know what to do with it that year. It lasted through the seeking time and that, and I come back, and then some gold dust started. And I didn't pay any attention to it. I mean, I wouldn't give it any glory or nothing. So finally, that stuff started dying out. But, you know, he would have liked to send me to Guyana with electric light bolts shining and flashing inside of the building. And I could have went to Guyana and had a communion. You know. But I didn't go for it. I just didn't know what to think. Well, the next year it came around, Thanksgiving time or Christmas or something, time to fast. I remember when I fasted at home, I went downtown, Rosalie was on the computer, my wife, and I said, "Can you hear that singing?" She says, "What singing?" I said, "Well, can't you hear it? It's a gospel song." She says, "Well, what are they singing?" It happened to be that song, "Can't you hear the thunder roll? I feel Jesus down in my soul." And I told her the words as they were singing it. She goes, "No, I don't hear it." I said, "You don't?" She says, "No, and if I was you, I wouldn't tell anybody." So the next time I rented a house, somebody was moving out early and they kept in it an extra month for the lease sake. And so I went there, and on the fourth night they started it again. Gospel songs over and over and over wore me out, on and on and on and on. And so finally I thought, what kind of test can I run on these guys? I'm getting tired of this. So I requested a song. "Let's go gather at the river." You know that song? They did. "Let's all gather at the river. Beautiful." And I said, what's another one? "Do you know Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash?" Got quiet. That was the first piece I had, about 5 minutes. I think they had to go find a bass singer. All of a sudden, "The taste of love is sweet when two hearts like ours meet. I fell into a burning ring of fire. Down, down, down." And I knew it wasn't God, you know. He wouldn't be singing that song. "And the flame burned higher, and it burned, burned, burned." I knew I had to stop it, but I was really tempted. I wanted to hear the end of the song. They were doing really good. But I took control of my flesh. And I said, "That's it. It's over. You're a bunch of devils. Get out of here. Get! It's over." And it just stopped. And they left. And I only heard them one more time after that. I was putting something in the back of my truck and they come up behind me. They said, "I am going to kill you." I said, "Oh yeah, right. If you could do that, I'd already be dead." Then they said, "I'm going to kill your family." They said, I said, "Yeah, right. Right." Well, time went by then, nothing. No more of that kind of stuff. It was great. The edification, the praying in tongues, the times I had. I had pulled back off the road to the meetings I had been doing. I mentioned some of them, you know, in India and in Russia. And the pullbacks, I had all the time that I needed. And I started taking it. And every time I'd pray more or fast more, anything I did more, kept taking me further. Any door that wasn't unlocked that I hadn't added to my life yet, you know, like meditation and fasting, or any door that wasn't added. It was along a hallway, and then praying in tongues, edification, put the key in my hand, and I'd unlock the door. And whatever was in there, I'd add it to my life. Until I got to the end of it. Remember, I told you yesterday, it even included the love. And I walked in a period of love where I couldn't even come out and talk, and people would break down and bawl like babies and stuff. But that had a ceiling on it because I didn't have a good enough foundation, so I had a chance, or there was a danger that I could have went Carlton. I can't see a loving God like that could have a hell. Or just because somebody didn't ever hear about Jesus and end up in hell. Do you know why Philip was translated across the territory, across the 30-mile desert, to talk to a eunuch? You know why? Because the guy was hungry. He was asking for God. There's nobody on an island anywhere that wants to know the true and living God. That he can't get you there. He don't need a boat. He doesn't need a boat. Anybody that truly wants to know him, I mean, they've got something inside that says there's got to be more than this stuff. All these big round guys, you know. It's got to be more than that. And I've got to know the true. Who's the true living God, the Creator, you know? Gee. But every door. And then it came to the end, and the love that I had been operating in it, I didn't go Carlton. I went foundation. You know, all inclusive, eternal security. One man died. You didn't ask to be born dead. So one man salvaged you. One man, everybody say, world say, when he come, Jesus rose, whole world say. That's their doctrine, see. And you know, the place of love, like that's synthetic kind of, it gets in there though, but it'll convince you of something like that. That these guys made horrible mistakes in the Bible when they wrote some of these things. See. So it leveled out. It leveled out. I went to more doors that founded my foundation. He stopped moving in that love for me, nailing my feet down to things like fasting and meditation principles, real grounding, strong principles. And I finally got to the end of the door not long ago. I didn't see any other door, but this next door looks like this. It came and went sideways. And I managed to get it open just a little bit. And put my foot in. And the whole path was twice as wide as the path I come up, and it was love. I knew it was. And it went down to another big safe. Only this big safe had a big door on it. And you could open that big door like where they keep a lot of money. And it was cracked about a foot and a half. And light, straight light, was shooting up out of it. See? And so, in this, he brought me this far. And it was praying in tongues. And the edification from it is every time gave me the key that was needed. And it finally brought me over here and dropped me off at this door. And the only next step I know about is this door. I haven't taken it yet. But I'm busy finding out what I need to know. You know, how can it be taken? What's in it? And what's it capable of? And that's when I began to see what Gary was talking about the love we were born with. And I'll close with this. Most costly thing heaven's ever sustained is your right to make choices. If you were a robot, all I'd have to do is push a button.
I love you. I love you.
I know it. I programmed you to say that.
I love you.
I know it. Costly thing it cost him. Costs, he knows. He knows. When you raise your hands and tell him that you love him, that came from you. And I got to see the DNA. The chromosome. I got to see our new nature forming. And one part of it was love. But it was his love, okay. But it didn't come to him like, hey, I'll love him, I'll put that in him. And it came from the creation. It was part of, it is part of our new nature. And when God comes, it can hold God's love. You can walk in this much if you want, you know, or you can walk in this much. He says it has a lot to do with answered prayer, like the loving your enemies and doing good to those who hate you, praying for those who despitefully use you and they steal your money. You don't ask at them again. You just let God pay you back. See, it's a kind of love that he gave you that's just like his, capable. And when he comes, he can dwell in that love. But it doesn't have to stop here. It doesn't have to stop here. It doesn't have to stop here. He says, okay, now what do you think you were looking for? Me? Me? I'm looking for those kind of miracles you don't see. Whole row of people are twisted. Feet backwards, arms blind, deaf, never heard. Twisted up. Missing limbs. Wouldn't it be called maimed? Do you think that he could look at them just about all the love that he has and stand there with a way to do something about it, that he'd leave them the same? What would millions and millions of people's salvations be based on You think if I saw something like that, that I'd walk off saying fake? Yet, is it possible to be in our reach? He only had to prove it one time to me. Jesus was gone already. The apostles took over. First they were feeding the people and everything. They decided they should be praying for them and the other guys. Feed them. But Jesus wasn't there. And a great revival continued after he left. Well, he was there a month before that. Yeah. Well, he's here too. He's here too. He was not there in person. Yet every person they hauled in from every city around about. Do you think some of the cases must have been pretty bad? Wouldn't you say? Oklahoma City heard everybody got healed here. Would you gather yours up? Would you? Well, Jesus wasn't there. The apostles were. Oh, well, he loved them more than us. Oh, did he? Did he? Well, do you know how to grow in that? Yes, I've learned. Do you know how to increase in it? Yes, I've learned. Do you know how to receive more of it? Yes, I'm learning. Are you going to stop? No. 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 And he told me, he said, son, you have no idea either what the fullness of my love has to do with even your source. What part would you think I would let go if I'm loving them? If I'm loving them with the love that I have through you, what part am I going to let go? Starve? What? That guy with no leg? What part? I don't think so. Tell me two things that are involved in it. Three, praying, talking to him, worship, edification. I was already in a harvest of meetings with 600,000-700,000 people in them. India. They were filling skating rink places from in Russia. I mean, it quite the crowds there. I wasn't going because he had to call me back. And I had to learn this. All right, I was going to let you go before this. So we'll go ahead and let you go, and you know that it resumes at 2. And so you can go eat and...